This evening, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. One of the sobering chapters. As you look at the seventh seal being opened, which leads to the seven trumpet judgments and the seven bowl judgments. We'll be looking at the first four trumpet judgments this evening out of chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there was voices of thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burnt, and all the grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we look at your word, may we be silenced and may we be stand amazed, in awe. And Lord, may we realize what is in store for men who to continually turn their back upon you and shake their fist and rebel against you. And Lord, as we realize that, may we have a real burden for the lost, and may we see the importance of sharing the gospel. And Lord, may these verses stir us to share with others the hope that we have in Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight through your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The amazing thing that we're going to be seeing here is the events that are going to transpire in the last portion of the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, as the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth. And as the beginnings of the judgment of the wrath of God against the sinful men are coming, and they're announced with the seventh seal being broken, and the scroll being opened and seeing these judgments coming, there's silence in heaven. And if you stop and think about all the praise that has been going for the Lord before His throne as we've been going through the book of Revelation, and the 24 elders and the angels and the cherubs praising the Lord, and now as they're seeing the wrath that is going to come against sinful men, the silence that overtakes heaven. As Christians, I think that if we could understand and have a clearer vision of what these verses say, that men must face If they refuse to turn to the living God and receive the grace that is offered through His Son Jesus Christ, we would be in silence as well. It's interesting. Some of the pastors of old who caught glimpse of this, what it did to them. Robert Murray McShane, pastor of the small church in Scotland, had such a burden for his congregation because he knew the majority of them were lost. Even though they were very religious people, even though they were in church every Sunday, yet he knew they were lost. And there was told of an incident where a man, a number of years after McShane's death, they had turned his little cottage that he had lived in into a bit of a museum. And someone had come to visit the church and visit the cottage that had been his parsonage. And he was being shown around, and they got upstairs to where McShane's bed was. And the man looked at the floor, and there were two ruts in the wood floor. And the visitor asked the man who was showing her around, he says, "What are those?" He said, "That's where our pastor's knees were on the floor night after night after night praying for us." Because he saw the need that these people would come to Christ. McShane came down with illness. Well, and he hadn't seen any results. He'd been praying for revival in this church for years, and he hadn't received any results. He came down with illness, and he was told that he needed to go to a different climate and rest. And so he did, and he had another man come in and preach. While McShane was gone and this man was preaching, the people began to be saved, and revival began to break out in his church. When McShane came back from his time away, someone asked him, "Are you upset that this didn't happen?" "No," he said, "I'm thrilled that it happened because God answered my prayers." He understood where men were without Christ. God has given us a glimpse of the horror of His judgment upon a wicked and sinful world. And this evening we're going to be given a glimpse of that. We've been looking at some of the things that have been happening in our world on the news. And in Nepal they've had 2 earthquakes over 7 on the Richter scale within the last week. If you've seen any of the pictures, you see that there's literally towns that have been decimated by the earthquakes. Most of the buildings have been destroyed. People having to live in little tiny tents with blankets over sticks and everything else just to try and find shelter. They're concerned about getting food and water to people. And yet that's nothing compared to what the Bible is going to look at tonight. Nothing. If you stop and think of it, as it says here, another angel came out and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it up with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Remember in chapter 6, when we were looking at chapter 6, the prayers of the martyrs, and said, how long, O Lord, will before you judge? His judgment's coming. Those prayers are being offered up before the Lord that He might now at this time answer them and deal with the wickedness and that which has gone for so long. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now this angel is not Jesus, because it says another angel, and the word there is not, it does, whenever you see Jesus mentioned as an angel, it's the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. And this is just another angel, as in the same as those that have been talking about before. So this is not Jesus. But this angel is instructed to cast down and begin to cast down these things which are going to bring judgment on the earth. Now I want you to know that the things that are happening in our world today, we're talking about Texas. I was talking to a man yesterday, and he knows a man that lives in the Dallas area, and he said that it's terrible, the flooding down there. And they're supposed to get more rain again today. They're flooding in all over Texas and in the south, having all these tornadoes. On the east coast, they've got weather problems. This isn't by chance. Who controls the weather? The Lord says that He is the one that controls the lightnings of the sky, and it's Him that controls the thunder and the rain. And it's Him that causes the earthquakes. And you'd think that people would begin to see, but people don't see. You don't hear about repentance. Instead, all you see on the news is more wickedness and more promoting of wicked philosophies and people not turning to God. It's not going to be any different. Even when God begins to pour more of His wrath upon the earth. Verse 7, we have the first of the trumpet judgments. Now the trumpets in Israel were used to call people. They were used as signs to warn people. They were used to gather the troops for war. And here they're called to warn people of what is coming. What is coming? There's a judgment coming. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. People say, how could hail and fire and blood be mingled? Well, God can cause, this is supernatural. This isn't a normal hailstorm. This isn't a normal situation. You go back during the time in the land of Egypt, when God caused the 10 plagues to come on the nation of Egypt to allow Israel out of Egypt. Those were not normal. They were supernatural, brought about by God and His power and His authority at the direction of His Word. The same thing is here. This is not a normal hailstorm. This is not a normal lightning or fire coming from heaven. And there's blood mingled with it. This would be terrifying if you stop and think about this. Going out and experiencing this. I don't know if you've ever been in a real, real bad lightning and thunderstorm, but that can be rather terrifying. This is what's going to be happening here times 10 and with things that have never been seen before. How is blood going to fall from heaven? I don't know how God's going to do it, but He says He's going to do it. And that would be terrifying as these raindrops are hitting you and they're not raindrops, it's blood. The people would be terrified. But the problem is they don't turn to Christ. They don't turn to Christ. And the result of this is that this fire from heaven is that the trees are on a third part of the earth was burnt up and all the grass was burnt up. Now, if you understand how the ecosystem works, and everybody is talking about green earth and Mother Earth, it's as if God is saying, okay, you think it's man that's the problem? I'll show you how man is the problem. It's his sin that's the problem, and I'm going to deal with it. And you think you've got all these wonderful plans on how you're going to save the planet by worshiping it? I'm going to come against that. And a third of the trees are burnt up. You realize what would happen to our whole ecosystem if a third of the trees are burnt up? One of the first things we learned in my sophomore year of biology was the fact that what do? We let off carbon dioxide when we breathe. Trees take in the carbon dioxide and they let off oxygen. And so there's a system. We need the oxygen, they need the carbon dioxide. Well, if you take a third of the trees, the people are all upset because we're cutting down some forests, which aren't a third of the trees of the earth. It may be some forests, and men shouldn't just go in and wipe out whole mountainsides of trees. There needs to be planning. But the thing is, a third of the earth is going to be defoliated, not have trees at all. They're going to be burned and consumed. Can you imagine what that's going to do? In Israel, prior to the Jews coming back, the reason they had no trees is because the Ottoman Empire put a tax on trees. You can believe it. And so everybody cut down their trees because they didn't want to pay the tax. And so all of a sudden the whole land became defoliated and had no trees. And guess what happened when they didn't have trees? It became deserts and swamps, and there was totally useless land. And Mark Twain, when he was in there in the mid-1800s and went to Israel, he said, "This is a God-forsaken land. Nothing could live here." And that was his assessment of the nation, of the land of Israel. And that's what happened when they totally took out the trees. Well, now you're going to have that taken out on a third of the earth. And Israel didn't bloom as a rose in the desert. One of the reasons they're able to is because they planted well over a million trees in the nation of Israel, maybe even more than that now. And my wife is saying yes, and it's much more than a million. But it's blooming, and part of that is because it changes the whole climate when you've got trees. And so a third of the earth is going to be defoliated. Then what happens? It doesn't stop there. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. In all likelihood, would be a giant meteorite. We've got people that say, well, the reason there's no dinosaurs today is because of the meteors. There was a meteorite that came and hit the earth millions of years ago, and it changed the earth's climate, resulting in the dinosaurs all dying. But they don't say anything about the flood. Well, there is a meteor coming that is going to change a lot of things on the earth. Do you realize how much food we get from the sea and how much the sea impacts the well-being of everybody on the earth? And if you have a third of the sea being contaminated and a third of the fish in the sea being destroyed and the living creatures and a third of the boats being destroyed in this giant, if you can imagine this meteor or this what it's called a giant mountain here hitting the sea and the tidal waves that would go out from that. A number of years ago, or if you remember the tsunami that hit Indonesia and India, from the earthquake that was over there and how it wiped out cities that were on the shore. And then just a couple years ago, we had the tsunami that hit Japan. And we've got pictures of both of those tsunamis. They're nothing compared to this. This is going to be unbelievable. But you know what? People aren't going to turn to Jesus. That's just amazing. These things happen. But did they turn to Jesus when the tsunami hit Japan? Did they turn to Jesus when the earthquakes are hitting Nepal? The majority of the people aren't. Then we see that the third one comes. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon a third of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. Now, I'm going to be talking about this on Saturday a little bit more, living water and broken cisterns. But a little bit that I'm going to share is one of the things that is the importance of water in the world. The importance of water. When we were in Israel, the first time we went, our guide said a lot of people think that oil is the big issue in the Middle East. He says, oh, oil is an issue, but it's not the issue for us. The issue for us is water. When we were there this last time, one of the problems they've got is water. And they are they're concerned because the water coming into the Galilee Sea from the mountains, which are north of Mount Hermon, and the other mountains north of there, that's where the water comes from their snows as they melt. And they're concerned about the water that Israel has. And Israel has developed desalinization they're the leader in desalinization, where they can take salt water from the Mediterranean and salt water even from the Dead Sea and desalinate it, get all the salt and chemicals out of it, and use it for drinking water. But water is a huge issue. And if you stop and think that a third of the earth is going to be impacted with their drinking water. One of the things that they're talking about in Southern California right now is their lack of water. And they were talking about how that, did you know that most of the bottled water comes out of Sacramento, in Sacramento's wells. And that's where the bottled water comes, majority of it in our country. And so that they're switching the bottled water, people are switching to their plants in on the East Coast now. They're opening plants in Philadelphia, or Pennsylvania rather, because California's water supply is drying up. They're concerned about water. I was talking to a man who said that he drove by the Hoover Dam, and there used to be this huge Lake Mead behind the Hoover Dam, and the level is so low, it's unbelievable. And water is a real issue. But if you can imagine, the water that you had, you couldn't drink anyway because it's poisoned. It says that this was like a wormwood. If you go to the Middle East, wormwood is a bitter plant. It's a bitter plant. There's various plants that are called wormwood over there. And what they are very bitter to taste, and they make you sick. Well, this is an extremely bad form of wormwood because it doesn't just make you sick, it kills you. The people drink this water that has been tainted by this wormwood that has come when this star has hit and gotten into the water supply, and it kills the people. So a third of the earth is going to have their water destroyed. Amazing. And then we come to the fourth angel. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. And a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. You know, it's interesting how many people today look to the heavenly bodies, number one, worshiping them in some form or another. Secondly, looking to astrological signs that are based upon the stars and the moon and the sun to get guidance for their life. I always thought that was, to me, it's amusing. It's sad, but it's amusing. If you stop and think, people... No, I don't know if the form still. We don't get the paper, so I don't know if the form publishes the astrological signs every day like they did a number of years ago. But I remember looking at these and reading these, and they'd have all the different. You know, everybody's supposed to be born under one of these signs, like Aries or a Leo or whatever. And so you'd go into the paper and you'd read, "This is what's for you today, if you were born." And I'm going, really? People actually base their whole life on a little two-sentence deal in the paper on because I was born in this particular month, and that's going to determine how I live. But there are actually people who do that. There are people who call astrologists and have them read the stars and tell them what decisions they should make. Even President Reagan's wife had an astrologist that she would go to and ask her to give her advice, and she could tell her husband on decisions he needed to make and things like that. And people, you think these are intelligent people, but they look to the stars and they look to the sun and they look to the moon to give them direction. Well, God's going to say, okay, I'm going to take a third of it away. Now try and get your direction. Now try to get your direction. You see, who's in control? God's in control. And if you can imagine the impact, you know, psychologically, there are people up here in the north, a lot of people suffer from the winters because we have shorter days and we don't have as much sunlight. And I forget the term for that particular illness, but there is an illness that comes because you don't get enough sunlight. And it impacts these people psychologically, it impacts them physically. Well, if you can imagine a third of the sun's power being taken away, and a third of the light at night being taken away, and the impact that that would have on people psychologically and physiologically, but most importantly, God's trying to teach them spiritual lessons. And if you look at the things that God is doing here, it's much the same as what He did with the nation of Egypt. But the sad thing is, most of the people in the world are going to be like Pharaoh. And what did Pharaoh do? Oh, when the thing would come, he'd soften for a moment. But the minute there was some pressure that was taken off, his heart was immediately hardened. And every time he hardened it, it became more hard. And that's exactly what these people are like. The majority of the people on the earth are going to be hardening their heart against God. And it doesn't matter what all of these judgments are saying. Later on, we're going to see they're going to be shaking their fists and cursing God. And instead of bowing their knee and repenting. Well, we should be sobered. But we should also see that we have a great opportunity. Because Jesus said, white are the fields unto harvest. The Lord hasn't come yet in His judgment of His second coming. We aren't yet to the last half of the last 7 years of history. There's still time to go out and to reach the lost and to share the gospel. And may we ask God to help us to be sobered, even as all of heaven was as they saw these judgments coming. The people that mock and curse God, this is what's in store for them. And it's not going to be fun. And may we understand the grace that's been extended to us and the mercy that's been shown to us, and that we can see the truth and it set us free. And may we share that truth with others, that they in turn may be set free. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand these truths. And Father, help us to be sobered, even as all of heaven was, as these trumpets blew and they realized the last events in the history of the world were beginning to be brought upon the earth, and it was in the form of Your judgment for man's sin. Lord, I pray that as we look at these judgments, and we look at a third, no one in the world could not be without being impacted by Your judgment. Lord, help us to warn people and help us to be sobered and also to be thankful for what You've done in our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.